Welcome everyone to Behind the Curtain with me, Rhiannon Cars. In today's episode, I am absolutely chuffed to bits to be welcoming Emma Scholes. Emma Scholes is an absolute ambassador for curtains. She is a principal geo-environmental engineer in our Leeds office and has been with us since she graduated. She plays a really active role in the industry, including as chair of the ACE's Emerging Professionals Network. And last year, we very proudly announced Emma as the winner of our Bill Curtin Award. This is a special recognition, it's voted for by the board, and it recognises an individual's outstanding achievement. Welcome, Emma. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start there. The Bill Curtin Award. Only one of these gets given out a year, nominated and voted for by the board. You didn't know. You didn't know you were going to get it until you got it. So tell us, how did that feel, kind of hearing your name be shared on that day?
So surreal. So obviously all the different offices were kind of dialed in into the central sort of Sky Sports style studio that Neil was reporting from, and we'd kind of seen the progression of the other awards coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And it got
it was
to
the
that.
Last one on the day, wasn't it?
It's the last one, and it got to it, and I think Neil started speaking, and I think genuinely, hopefully just a testament to how much I just did not see it coming. Every single like sentence that he said, sort of moving through that description, I was still trying to piece together in my head who I thought it was. Mm-hmm. He mentioned they'd attended UK Reef, and I was thinking, well, I was there, who else did I see there? Moved into a new role, and I was trying to figure out who else had done that in the company and things. And I think it took until he mentioned the ACE Emerging Professionals for that penny to kind of finally drop. And I think most people in the room also didn't know, but Jahan and John, line manager at the time, both did, and they both said after that, sort of like seeing that reaction like unfold
literally
across my face, like just the genuine shock of it. And I think it took a bit of time to sunk in. Obviously there's some incredible people who've won it before, and I think like looking at them over sort of the few years that it's been given out previously, and then to now be a part of that is incredible
in that hall of fame.
So
where's the trophy then? Has it got like a pride of place desk or mantelpiece?
Probably on my desk.
Yes.
We've been sort of saying, do we put up some shelves, and hopefully if EB start to win some more of these, and we can get a nice little collection going in the back room in the Leeds office.
That's
it's on my desk.
Brilliant. Okay, I want to dive into some more questions then. So I mentioned in the introduction there that you've got quite a pivotal role in terms of in the industry. You're really well known for public speaking. I know you're no stranger to that. What have the highlights been for you?
Yeah, I think, I mean, one of the main highlights has probably genuinely been that journey. I think there's probably, and I remember thinking this before I kind of started getting involved in any events and public speaking, of kind of a perception that the people who do it, it comes naturally to them, it's really comfortable, and they're just confident from the start with it. And I think maybe that is the case for some people, but it certainly wasn't for me. It's been a real progression. I remember one of the first times with the Emerging Professionals that I was asked to get involved. I think it was just as I'd started to lead the North group. And they asked me to go and present at SMT like group meeting. And I mean, there was 10 or so people in the room, but beforehand I was really like psyching myself up, pep talking myself outside the room, like went in and just, went okay, but I was just so nervous.
Yeah.
And I think seeing the sort of journey from that, 2-3 years ago now, to kind of, I mean, the point where I did the first proper speech as Emerging Professional Chair, which was back in December 2024, at the winter reception, was just a really nice sort of progression. It was that full circle. We had Neil, the CEO, there obviously supporting, room full of emerging professionals, and it was just that really nice kind of, all of a sudden I was still a little bit nervous before, but I felt happy doing it, I enjoyed it, and I think that kind of journey of it has been a real highlight. And then I think the other is probably the people that I've kind of been able to have some help from along the way. I think you'll probably remember when I wrote that speech and I came to you saying, I've got to stand up in front of a whole room of people, like, what do I do? Help. And you helped me go through it, like the guidance that I had there from ACE side as well, Kate Jennings and Tasha Boyle, some of the team involved with the Emerging Professionals, was just really nice. And it's sort of seeing how other people do those things and then bringing your own kind of spin to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I certainly, when I've seen you talk, like, you don't ever kind of show that you've got nerves, but I completely understand and relate to that. Like, I don't think many people love, you know, kind of standing, you know, we're saying this with a microphone in front of us today, but I do think many people love standing up on that podium and kind of talking to a room. But I think the impact that you can have, and I think it's so important that, you know, your voice is heard. So I think, you know, what you're sort of showing us there is actually kind of feel the fear and kind of do it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, that's it. I'm so, every single time I always say that a lot of these things, it's kind of step by step. And like, if I'd have on day one of being involved in the emerging professionals been asked to stand up in a room full of 100 people and do a speech, I'd have run a mile. Mm-hmm. But I think saying yes to all the little things and sort of growing that on the kind of journey of it makes it all a little bit easier. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, I agree. I think it's so important to sort of get out there and show people that, you know, you can do it and mm-hmm. sort of be able to be a role model like people were sort of before me for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Fantastic. Thank you. Back in sort of the Q4 of 2025, you and I attended the British Standards Institute launch of the inclusive PPE guidance and standards, which I know, you know, we've talked about this many times, is a really kind of critical, vital standard to have been launched, to have been introduced, not just to our industry, but to any industry that uses PPE. Could you just talk us through kind of, I suppose, why do you think that's so important to us, but more broadly as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible, isn't mm-hmm. it? And I think going there, when we went down for the launch, you really see that. You see the sort of the passion that everyone's put into it, and you get to sort of see the excitement across, like you say, our industry, but also other industries that this is coming. I think everyone who was there on that day, every incredible person who's been a part of shaping that standard, that guidance, will say it is not the end goal, it's not the final point, that is not a solution completely there and formed, but it's a massive step on the way. And I think the importance of that across the board in all industries where it's needed is so valuable. And I think there is now something for everyone to cover them and to make sure that they have a place in the industry. And I think I hope no one would look at that guidance document and feel like they're still being missed out. Mm-hmm. I think obviously I come into inclusive PPE from the perspective of a 5'3" woman who's been going to site mm-hmm. In the sort of geo-environmental space. But I think what's brilliant is that it really is shaped for so many different people from so many different backgrounds who work in so many different industries, to kind of just provide them with a tool and something that can be used to help them with their employer or map out sort of that path to kind of being safe on site. And that's what it's ultimately about. It's about being safe in your workplace.
Absolutely. And I suppose I'd like to ask you about what you think the impact of that might be, because you're right, it's about being safe on site. It's about feeling like you've been considered and you belong on that site as well, isn't it? So what do you think the impact of having had this kind of this standard introduced, what do you think the impact might be?
Yeah, and I think that there's sort of two streams to that. One is the very obvious safety-wise, PPE that doesn't fit is not fit for purpose. That's kind of the standard tag that goes with it. And it means that now people are hopefully going to get to a point where they're in a position where they are able to do their job safely, as safely as the person next to them. And that will sort of, you know, go across all sort of needs and requirements for people. I think the second is exactly what you said there about the being considered. And mm-hmm. I think it's that representation and feeling like you are thought of. So I think, you know, everyone who's kind of come up through site, particularly, I mean, even, you know, in the last few years, I think we'll have stories to tell about. I know when I was going on site as whether that was lead engineer or going to meet clients, like in the sort of early days of my career, it is really hard to respect yourself and to feel confident in yourself if you're turning up in an oversized baggy jacket, sleeves rolled up, you've got gloves that are like bending off your fingers. I know people anecdotally tell stories of if you're wearing glasses and you have to put your safety goggles over the top of them. Mm. And it's hard to then face drillers or contractors on site or clients and feel really confident in yourself. And I think it doesn't send those people a message that they've been thought of and they've been, like you say, considered and sort of given a space. So I think this is huge for everyone, end users, and also it sort of gives the tools to manufacturers and people in procurement as well to kind of be able to actually now go and make these changes and implement them.
Exactly. I mean, I suppose what we hope is that this is the catalyst
for
that change, don't we? I mean, I've heard people describe to me, going on site and you've got your trousers that have been designed for a 6-foot male, and you roll them up 3 or 4 times to then perhaps climb a ladder, and people saying to me, like, I feel like I'm dressed up as my dad. And I just think that what that must do for confidence as well, you know, perhaps some of the less obvious impacts of poorly fitting PPE, but no less kind of important. And I also think with the, you know, with the guidance, what it really often does is some of the kind of details in it, say, for example, breathable material. So breathable material is recommended for people who are experiencing the symptoms of the menopause, right? Because you're dealing with hot flushes, you've got immediate kind of temperature changes to your core. So we have breathable materials, which just makes it so much more comfortable for people experiencing menopausal symptoms. Great. But actually, most people would benefit from having, or see the benefit of having, a breathable material for their PPE. Yeah. So I suppose the point that I'm trying to make there is, while some of these recommendations may be made for a specific group of people, actually the benefits can be felt more widely.
Yeah, massively. It's the, I think, the variety in that, and it's that choice, you know, again. And it's the classic of it's not about how it looks, because you just want to be in something. I mean, there's one of those phrases that we heard a lot on that inclusivity day, wasn't there, of was it pink it and shrink it,
and yeah, pink it and shrink it.
Yeah, let's make it colorful, let's make it a size small, and then it's suitable for women. And I think it's, you know, it's so much bigger than that. And I think it's about comfort, it's about confidence, but like you say, fundamentally it's about the safety to be able to turn up and do your job. And we've heard anecdotes of people having sites paused, or you know, even shut down or delayed, because a single member of staff was unable to get a piece of PPE that perfectly fitted them. So a contractor wouldn't let them onto site, and all of a sudden you're in a position then when you're physically not able to do your job, because of something that is out of your control.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose, you know, this really aligns with what we're doing more broadly at Curtins in terms of you know, our ultimate goal. We spoke to Chief Exec Neil Parkinson about our kind of our focus on gender balance, and in particular bringing more women into the industry, but into Curtins in those kind of senior technical roles. And by having, you know, that inclusive PPE provided, it feels like quite a significant step towards being kind of facilitating that, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's it, actually. You know, when we're talking about being considered and having a space for you, you're so much more likely to see that as a long-term career and something you can really find a place in for yourself, for not just the first few years where you're gaining experience, but actually something for the rest of your life and the rest of your career. And I think that comes from feeling included and feeling like you have a place. And I feel like if we're making space for a wider range of people in the industry, that's only going to benefit everyone. And it hopefully, I really hope that we will see better attention in the industry from people who were previously feeling like they maybe had to be pushed out. Same as, you know, around maternity or return to work after that and everything. It's the exact same thing of what can we do to try and bring those people into a space where they feel as included as they did previously, or as their other colleagues who maybe haven't had the exact same circumstances as them, and kind of making sure that that workforce is there for the long run rather than just for the early career first few years.
Yeah, absolutely. And like the point you make there about, you know, it's not just about attracting people, is it? It's about retaining people. And we see, you know, quite high figures, quite, you know, in terms of the numbers of people that are leaving the industry, particularly at those points in their lives, like, you know, perhaps leaving for maternity leave or even returning after maternity leave and saying, this is just not the industry for me. So, yeah, I completely hear what you're saying, that actually this is a really, really critical kind of chapter, I guess, in really trying to kind of deal with that issue. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Thank you very much. Going to move on then to your position as a geo-environmental engineer. You work a lot with other specialisms around Curtin. So you're based in Leeds, you're in the geo-environmental team, but you work with various different teams across the whole of the UK and Ireland, don't you? What do you think that other people or other teams could learn from the way that our geo-environmental team perhaps work with one another, but with other specialisms as well?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, because I think obviously, like you say, we're not in every single office, so we're kind of spread out a little bit, which means that sometimes we're covering a few offices kind of work and we share that around. It also means we've got smaller teams in some places and slightly large ones in others. So I think something that, and I genuinely think we've got a lot better at it in recent years as well, something that I think we do well, and I think we can be proud of, is that sharing the resource and sort of making sure that all of our engineers are getting experience across different areas. And I think that comes from, you know, a lot of the time we say a big team's a luxury, but I actually think having a smaller team can be a luxury in that sense, because it kind of forces you to interact with others more. It's like, we can't be completely dependent on just ourselves. Like, it, you know, there are times where one office is busier than others. We might have one team that's got a particularly big project on and it requires a several engineers on site at a time, and that would wipe out that entire office for months.
Yeah, of course.
So instead we'll pull them from other offices, and I think it's really nice, and it gives kind of an experience for engineers who are based in Leeds to get to see some of the geology and the ground conditions in different parts of the site and the country, and then sort of vice versa. But it also helps them kind of build that network in the community, and I think that for me is really important. The Curtains Academy is brilliant, but obviously they meet a handful of times a year, and it's full of civils and structural engineers as well. And I think to give people a better connection into other engineers and their discipline and their kind of grade, who they can kind of go to for little questions or for advice or just for that sense of community, I guess, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is really nice. And I think that's something that, yeah, it does mean you might be on lots of different projects at once, and it does mean staying away from home on site works occasionally and things like that. But I think the value that's added from that is really great.
Yeah, that sense of kind of being part of that wider team and those connections. And so much of my job as well, but I imagine so much of your role is reliant on those relationships, isn't mm-hmm. it? You know, that's how you learn, that's how you share, that's how you build your knowledge. So you've got, yeah, like you say, you've got quite a small team, you're based in Leeds, but how many offices is GeoEnvironmental in?
Yeah, so we're currently, we've got a team up in Scotland. We've got the Leeds and the Manchester offices. We've got a small team down in Birmingham, one in London, and then we've got a kind of a hybrid team spread across Bristol, but actually based in Cardiff generally. But again, those teams range in size from, I think, sort of two or three on the smaller end of it, to probably closing to double figures, somewhere around 10 or so, which would be Manchester, which is our biggest. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I think all in, we're about 30-odd, and that's spread over the small geotechnical team as well, which mm-hmm. are kind of spread out around the country, yeah. kind of one here and yeah. there, and then yeah. the base in London. So again, it's the same as with that. It's kind of sharing work. And if we've got engineers in Leeds and someone else has a job up in here, it makes no sense for them to bring someone from the other side of the country up. If our engineers are here, we can deliver that.
Yeah, so you absolutely have that agility, don't you, to be able to do that. Okay, fantastic. Thank you. I'm going to move us on then to, I'd like to kind of hear about what really excites you. Now, you can come at this from any perspective you want. It can be technical, it can be personal, it can be in terms of your kind of your development within the role. But I suppose, yeah, what motivates you? What excites you? What kind of gets you up in the morning?
Yeah, so I think, I mean, part of it is obviously relatively recently took on running our Leeds GeoEnvironmental team, and that's just a role that I found that I loved. Like mm-hmm. it's a really good balance of still getting involvement in projects and getting to lead on the same projects that I enjoy, but also a little bit of the people management mm-hmm. and I think connection then into other people in the company who are in similar roles, and like I said before, that kind of community at that level. And I think that I feel quite motivated in that sense of, I felt very lucky when I came up through Curtains to be like championed by the people around me, really encouraged to take opportunities and kind of get involved in different things beyond the day job. Mm-hmm. And now it's the sort of full circle moment where I'm in that position myself, and I'm in that place where I can give that opportunity to other engineers and encourage them to, and help them find, you know, what their pathway might be and what they're kind of looking to. Mm-hmm. So obviously I think that's really important to me, and that's local to my team, but I actually think that across the business and the industry is something that really excites me. I think it's a really great time to be an early career professional mm-hmm. in our industry. I think there are so many like young professional networks, it's next gen, it's future leaders, it's emerging professionals, mm-hmm. all the different names for them. But I think there's such a community feel now, and that's something that maybe did exist when I was writing the early years of my career, but I didn't know about, or I didn't have access to. But I think now they're being spoken about so much, they're being presented to our engineers, and it's something I feel really passionate about, of kind of giving people the opportunity to build their network from a sort of really early career point, where it's doesn't have to be intimidating, it doesn't have to be anything that you're sort of being held accountable to, it's just making friends in the industry and connections for the long run.
Absolutely. It's interesting actually, because this is something that we've been talking about with the SM team, so with our senior management team, in terms of I suppose building that skill set, building that kind of confidence and capability across the business for kind of networking and having and building that network around you within the industry. At the moment, it is quite top heavy. That tends to be a role that the senior leaders take, or you know, some individuals throughout the business like you who have kind of picked up that mantle and run with it. But I suppose very much in line with the philosophy of collective ownership and shared responsibility, we want everybody to feel that they've got a role in kind of both kind of looking after our existing clients, but also you know, kind of seeking and building those relationships with new ones as well. And I think what you're saying there in terms of like early careers, it's not necessarily about going out there seeking that contract with that client for that enormous, you know, hospital, like, you know, in Leeds or something. Yeah. It's not as kind of high stakes as that perhaps, but I think if we can start to really build that network in our early careers, then that's when you kind of build those, you have those relationships, don't you? And whilst, you know, those relationships won't necessarily kind of be with the decision makers, they might be, but won't necessarily be with the decision makers of today. Obviously, as time marches on, it will be the decision makers of tomorrow, won't it?
Yeah, and I think that's exactly it. And one of the things that I sort of bang on about quite a lot in the speech that I do, especially in that kind of emerging professional space, is that it is in so few people's comfort zone to walk into a room full of strangers and feel at ease and know how to deal with that situation. But I think it can feel like you're the only one who feels like that when you walk into a room and everyone already knows each other. And I think that's it's probably a misconception, and it's not necessarily true, but it's really hard to shake that yourself. Mm. Whereas if you're walking into a room full of people you know are at the same point in their career as you, and you know aren't also looking to hand out business today, or aren't also looking to, you know, create meaningful partnerships that are definitely going to lead to anything, it just lowers that, you know, it takes the seriousness away from it, and I think you can just enjoy it. And I think it's a really great way to meet people from other disciplines. I think obviously at Curtis we're lucky because we're multidiscipline, but we still are very much in the kind of the engineering space, so getting to meet people, particularly for me as a geoenvironmental engineer, like, we're not as involved in design teams, so there's actually a lot of roles in the industry that I don't come face to face with in the day job. And I think getting to learn about those and what those people do at those settings, it's genuinely interesting, and people are interested to hear about what you're doing as well, and it just becomes this place where you can kind of chat and learn and share things without having to worry, like you say, too much about the kind of the end product. And I think it's the reality that may come down the line, but you don't need to worry about that for now. So I think it's just really nice to kind of have so many choices now of places you can go for that sort of early career networking and kind of building a bit of a community and friendships that will make those bigger, scarier networking events so much more easier down the line when you do start going to them.
Absolutely. Well, that's great, Emma. And what do you think that as kind of either the senior management team or the leaders at Curtains could do, either, I suppose, to provide more support, to build on, or perhaps introduce that would help?
Yeah, and I think it's really exciting to hear that it's something that senior management are talking about. And I think that shows how seriously as a company we take like the development of the younger staff. And obviously we have things like the academy, which sort of deal with the technical side and some of the other elements. But I think this is a really new space to sort of get involved in. And I think I do love the idea of Curtains sort of being a kind of creator of these kind of events. So, we can encourage our staff and employees to go and attend ones with professional bodies and other networking organisations around the different cities. But actually, if there's a way that Curtains can put these events on ourselves and sort of encourage our own emerging professionals and future leaders, and like you say, the terms that we're using, and sort of bring that into space with our clients, it's something we've speaking about in Leeds at the moment. We're organising an event this year sort of with an architect kind of in collaboration, basically with that exact purpose of kind of bringing our future leaders into that space. And I think seeing that sort of thing rolled out more, where it's one thing to ask our employees to go and be proactive and sign up to these events and find them themselves, but actually if we're kind of putting them on their doorstep and really encouraging them to attend, then I think it just makes it more accessible.
Absolutely. I love the idea that we could perhaps use the Leeds event that you've mentioned there as kind of our pilot, that we could perhaps roll out kind of further across the business. And I think it's interesting because, you know, absolutely, I hear what you're saying in terms of the future leaders of the business and of the industry really benefiting from these experiences. But actually, I reckon there'll be people throughout their careers, you know, who still find walking into a room full of people they don't know ridiculously intimidating. I know I do.
Yeah.
And it's not just about how you kind of enter into those conversations, but it's also about like, well, if you are the one that's in the room with your back to somebody who's just walked in, what can you also do to respond to them? How do you welcome them into that conversation? Or, you know, whatever that may be. So I think that there's definitely something I would love to kind of explore that Curtains experience could lead on. Yes, absolutely, for kind of emerging professionals, but I actually feel there's benefit for and value to be gained for no matter where you're at in your career.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's where like the terminology that we can use, and obviously emerging professionals fits a certain category of people, but I think the future leaders, or like you say, also just kind of rolling it out through the company. I think there is always sometimes that gap when you're not in academy but you're not in senior leadership, mm-hmm. in that sort of in between where there's still so much development that you've got to sort of learn, and I think encouraging that would be really cool to see.
Absolutely. Emma, what advice would you give? So as a future leader, you've had an amazing career trajectory so far. You're clearly kind of really impressing people around you. What would you say to somebody who's perhaps, I don't know, kind of just graduated, just perhaps starting out in their career at Curtains? And what have you kind of learned along the way that you'd like to pass on?
Yeah, and I think it's so funny because it's like every time I kind of reflect back on that career, I would have never imagined myself at the point I'm at now when I started mm-hmm. out. And I think that's kind of the message in it. It's just one step at a time. And yep. I think just taking little opportunities as they come, if you want to. And I think that's it. It's, I always say that I've done a certain kind of career path and this has been mine, but that won't suit everyone. Mm-hmm. And I think, some people are going to go down a much more technical pathway. There's a lot of different kind of like in the new digital roles and sustainability mm-hmm. and all these different kind of categories that people are able to progress into. So I think it's really, firstly deciding what you want and finding what you want. But in the interim of that, if you don't know, just saying yes to things, taking opportunities. Like, mm-hmm. I still credit all the emerging professional stuff I've ever done with the ACE down to doing reverse mentoring in Curtains, because it was through the reverse mentoring program at Curtains that Rebecca King recommended to me, mm-hmm. There's this emerging professional body, like you might want to get involved. Some of the things she flagged up in the reverse mentoring are things that, we know that they've mm-hmm. they've sort of had in discussion points. And I think it's that little step, and then through to the sort of running the North group of that, and then mm-hmm. Bit by bit kind of rung up the ladder. And I think it's just being open to opportunities, and even though they're scary, when you do them little bit by bit, it's less of a jump.
Well, like you say, the idea on day one of standing up at that event as as the chair of the Emerging Professionals Network and speaking to that big room of people would have felt really, really daunting. But I love this idea of just kind of small step at a time, and almost don't worry too much about what the destination is.
I think that's it, because you just don't know, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. I think and that's absolutely fine. And again, that is something massively, as like I've seen more as I've gone through my career, of a lot of people still don't necessarily know what they want their end goal to be. It's not like I'm at the final destination, this is exactly what I want. And there's that flexibility, it's all the squiggly career paths, it's all the other things that kind of feed in. And I think it is just that kind of like, you don't have to have it all completely figured out. If you're enjoying what you do now and you like the sound of an opportunity, then mm-hmm. go for it and see where it takes you.
Great advice, I love it, thank you. Okay, I'm going to take us on now to the quick fire questions. Okay, so don't overthink them too much. What's your favourite thing to do?
So from a day job point of view, mm-hmm. I still love, and I think I will always love, the kind of scoping phase of ground investigations and stuff like that. And it's the bread and butter of what we do. Mm-hmm. But I just love it. I think it's why so many people come into this job. It's the, looking at the geology of an area, kind of weighing up what the client wants, like speaking to our civil and structural teams, transport planning, all the different disciplines, and figuring out, okay, we've got this site, this is what they want to put on it. What information do we have now, and what do we need? And it's that real problem solving element that I think it's the core and the bread and butter of what we do. And we've got lots of other fancy technical things that we can spin off the back of it. And we do so many brilliant things now in EB, and it's constantly growing, which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. But I think that core part is just so fundamental to what we do, and it's part of the fun of it.
I love it. Fantastic. Thank you. What would you say has been your favourite project that you've ever worked on?
So this is hard because there's been quite a lot now. And I think, again, that's the nice thing of one, Curtains, and two, EBs. We do a lot of small projects as well as the big ones. I love things in Leeds City Centre because it's really cool to be on your way to a meeting or in town on a weekend and kind of be spinning around and looking at all these different buildings and projects that you worked on, and you get that kind of like ownership and sort of feeling of sort of attachment to them. But from a geo point of view, the strategic land kind of projects that we do, particularly for a company called Harworth, who have loads of sort of really big scale complex ground sites. They've got deep open cast mines that are like 80 meters deep. They've been backfilled, some of them really well, some of them less well. And I think the sort of the scale of those projects and the sort of complexity from a geology point of view, it really I don't know, challenges you technically.
Yeah.
And you have to mobilise a whole team to it to get to sort of know the project. I think a lot of our GEO projects are, we're in and out on sites and we do a ground investigation, we leave, and then we kind of come back to the site a few years on to do some topsoil sampling or things like that.
Yeah.
Whereas these ones, we really see them through. A lot of them, I mean, there's projects like those that I've been working on since I started.
Cool.
And we've done ground investigations, earthworks trials, we're then doing the enabling works. And it's kind of that ownership and seeing projects through.
Seeing it through. And I love that idea of, you know, walking through Leeds City Centre and being like, that's one of ours.
That's one of mine. Oh, I'm a nightmare with like friends and family on the weekend.
Fantastic. Thank you. What do you think is kind of really key to delivering for our clients? If you could sum it up, what would be kind of like the one thing that you think that is, that's you know, where Curtains really excel on behalf of our clients?
I think a lot of it's communication. Yeah. And I think that's internal and external. And it's, yeah, we're a multidisciplinary company. And I think with that, we have lots of different divisions internally, but the client only sees one Curtains. And I think it's making sure that we all speak to each other internally, right? Yeah, we're all human at the end of the day. Sometimes things get a little bit lost in translation. We might have deadlines that we are or aren't meeting internally, but it's making that all align so that we're sort of producing a finished project for the client and sort of sending that out as something all of us can be proud of. And I think that the same goes for the clients. It's that storytelling with them and, sort of establishing from the start exactly what they want and sort of going back and forth and building that relationship. I think that relationship's a really big thing at Curtains and that sort of like interactions that we have with each other, but also with people externally.
It's so important, isn't it? Although our product, if I can call it that, will be the designs that we send over, the reports, the drawings, so much actually that builds up to that kind of output is the relationship. It is, it's people ultimately, isn't it? It's brains and people that really is kind of what Curtains is made of.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think like it's a testament to a lot of the people in that we constantly have case studies flowing through the company, I think, where clients have specifically asked for certain named people or the same team to repeat products. And I think that, you know, business development and going out and meeting new clients and doing all those things is really exciting, but actually delivering a really good job for the clients that we have and that people connection with them is really important for us kind of getting that stream of work. And I think it's really nice to hear stories where a certain team or certain people have had that much of an impact on a client that they're asked back.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. Super, thank you. Right, I'm going to bring us to a final question then. So this is, we ask all of our guests this question. I'd like you to picture, Emma, in 1 year's time, what will you be doing?
And I think this is so hard because I think I'm so lucky in that I really like where I am. And I think it's, you know, had you asked me a year ago, I would have probably said, I love the thought of being able to take on the leadership of the team. I love the, you know, the thought of being more involved in this thing or that. And I think at the moment, I hope that I'm still in this position. I hope that I'm getting to do this, more confident in it, growing. You know, we've got a really exciting time in EB at the moment where we're kind of expanding. We've got the new director, Phil Thomas, who started last year. So I think it's just kind of seeing where that goes and being a part of it.
Brilliant, brilliant. Thank you. And I suppose continuing with the one step at a time and seeing where it takes you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can't say where I'll be, but hopefully somewhere great.
I love it. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for joining us. That kind of brings us to the end today. But I really appreciate you kind of coming on the podcast, talking to us about your experience and the journey that you've been on, but also kind of really sharing some really good advice, I suppose, and insights with other people. So hopefully people in their early careers can kind of see what you've done and hear what you've, how you've got to where you've got to, and really kind of take some nuggets in their kind of own personal journeys as well. So thank you so much for joining us on today's episode of Behind the Curtain.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been great.